Well, good morning once again, and happy New Year's Eve, or to those in the Church of Christ, happy Let the Youth Pastor Preach Day for all who celebrate. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's once in a while, once in a blue moon, once a year. No, not really, but it's good to see you again, good for to us to be here together on this last day of the year. And as we are on the precipice of this new year, there's a lot of emotions, a lot of things that go on, and probably some time that you're taking to look at the past year, learn from experiences, and make some changes. So now we can go over what you usually probably typically do at this time. We need to renew the gym membership. We need to look at that family budget. Time to initiate it and let it go to work. But any purchase made before January 1st does not put under that, so you're good to go. Also looking at maybe what this year, let's read the Bible. Maybe let's read the Bible in chronological order, the way that the books were written, the time period that they were written, and let's watch The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings. Let's mix something up. And finally, let's visit that one menu item on Chick-fil-A that none of us have ever been to, the Kale Crunch. Let's try that this year. Yes, Lord? Resolutions. At the end of the year, we're no different than some of the ancient civilization traditions that have happened before. The Babylonians started each year with pledges to pay debts and to return borrowed items. The Romans began their year by promising the two-faced god Janus that they would behave better. However, and it's probably not news to you, not a surprise, statistics show that we do not do a good job in keeping our resolutions. So today, what I want to look at is possibly looking at replacing the term resolutions in our life with revelation. Let's let God's divine disclosure to us help us in going toward not only this year, but in the years to come. And resolutions, as you again may know, that they fail because we use us, we're trusting ourselves to succeed, yet rather having a revelation where we trust God who brings the dead back to life, who speaks and the elements listen to him, who knows who you were before you were born, and loves us and commands us to take the gospel to wherever we go, preach it, and to use words when necessary. When examining our spiritual lives, it never hurts to start with the end in mind. The final book of the Bible, Revelation, encourages us that the message that Jesus wins, and he's coming back. And with that encouragement, let's rest a while in Paul's words at the end of Philippians. So if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, or if you'd like to use the Bible that's in the chairs, we're going to be looking at the end of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And in that part, in this, in our Bibles there, that subtitle may be Exhortation, Encouragement, and Prayer. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. And that is on page 982 of your chair Bibles as well. So as I present 4 points for starting at the end and what that calls from moving from resolution to revelation, and you may be expecting a 5-point sermon, but as it's the holiday, I'm giving you the friends and family discount, and so 4 points. So this section at the end of Philippians is where Paul reminds the church at Philippi that they aren't able to do things on their own, and they're not able to get by without God and without each other. In fact, right before this section, Euodia and Synecdoche were urged to make nice with the help of others and also with the same mind of the Lord. And so you can see that they were supposed to clear up their argument with the help of the congregation, with the members there, and with each other's help. And so we recognize our limitations in God's power, and that's the first point I want to bring toward today. As part of our revelation, we want to recognize our own limitations and what God's power is. So to be fair, there's nothing wrong with setting up resolutions, including ones that we choose to help better ourselves or maybe better something that's in our lives. One such resolution that you may be following is to take the month of January and each day to read one chapter in Proverbs. That's transformative thinking that can definitely come through wisdom and knowledge, and it does not fail to read that wisdom that's in Proverbs. But again, the common failure of resolutions is that due to our own self-reliance, we can be deceived by trying to make changes by ourselves, for ourselves, which pales in comparison with letting God work in our lives, and the comparison of God's unwavering and, dare I say, awesome power. So we as humans, we've done some incredible things. We have created the foldable cell phone. We created high-definition television. But at the same time, we've also created, and this is a real product, pumpkin spice ramen. You can go on walmart.com and look and see that there is pumpkin spice ramen. And I don't know what's more threatening, is the fact that we actually created that or that it's currently out of stock. The biggest tragedy there. But I'm reminded about dealing with Jesus and with discussion and arguments with the apostles. Many times he would be going along and they'd be talking and he'd catch them and say, "What are you talking about?" And they'd kind of look down and they'd kind of sheepishly look to each other. And it was a discussion that you're probably familiar with. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest among them? And in Luke's account, he states that Jesus says, he talks to them, and he usually bring a child in front of him. He said, "Unless you are like this child, you cannot realize the kingdom of heaven." And in Luke's account, again, he says, "For he who is least among you is also who is great." So recognizing God's power should encourage us to outdo each other in service and in love, and to take notice of when we can say glory to God in the highest. God's reliability and power never waver. So let's start in verse 4. Let's turn to chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 4. Let's read 4 and 5 together, and let's break that down as part of our looking at what our revelation for this year and the years to come will be. Verse 4 starts out, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." And so our passage begins with exhortation stated and repeated, rejoice. So it should not be lost on us, and remember where Paul is at this moment. He's writing a letter of joy from imprisonment. And after he receives a generous offering in support of his foreign mission work, in fact, in verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, "Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." So we have to admire that mindset. He's rejoicing in God's presence no matter where he is at that point. God is near and present with us in all situations, and whether we are acting as ministers or malcontents. But we have to fully realize that we have to get out of our own way. Let me give you an example. As you can imagine, being blessed with all that's in front of you, this frame, and working with teens who start off here and end here at the end of student ministry. I actually should probably say here, and they go to here at the end of student ministry. There comes up some interesting behavior, and this is one of my favorites. So I call it squaring up. So a teen will come to me and say, they'll put their shoulders and their eyes will get real big in front of me, and they're like, Sammy, look at me. I'm physically in front of you. And either they're trying to intimidate me or take my lunch money. I don't know. They look ridiculous when they're doing it. But it's this pose that they get. And I was thinking to myself, you know, instead of rejoicing in God's presence, do I try to make my presence known in front of God? Am I trying to square up spiritually? Do I do this to God? Hey, look at me and all that I've accomplished. I baptized like 8 people. I have people come to me and take advice, and they say thank you for that, and they say thank you for listening to me. When John the Baptist exalted Jesus without bitterness or envy, he said, "A person can receive only what is given from him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I say I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine," and I love how John the Baptist says that, "and it is now complete. He must become greater and I must become less." So instead of me trying to square up in front of Jesus, maybe I need to lift up in front of Jesus. Maybe I need to embrace that God's ever present support is there, and I don't need to be, I need to get out of my own way. Freedom and joy is found in placing our hope in God. Let's continue, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We get in the proper mindset by acknowledging that the power of prayer in receiving God's peace that transcends understanding. We experience God's peace through the proper mindset. And we talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Sometimes we get ready to pray, and we know what we want to pray for. We want to talk to God, but we have to wait for the right moment. We try to make it formal. We try to say, you know, dear God, this is what it's on my heart, and this is happening. But praying without ceasing means at any moment we can talk to our friend. God wants to be our friend. That's expressed in scripture. It's expressed in hymns. And so we don't need to wait and make that formal. We can bring up anything that comes in front of us about the love of the Christmas season, about the trepidation of a new year and what comes with that, of joy and pain, sunshine and rain. It's all fair game when we talk to the Father. And Jesus will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Christ wants to protect our hearts and minds in a fortress. And this reminds me of that old hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark," that's a UVA word for you, "a bulwark, a solid wall-like structure raised for defense that's never failing." Paul uses these words purposefully because as he contrasts his current situation of being kept away from those that he loves and being utterly protected versus being utterly protected by the one who loves us. God makes that fortress around our hearts and around us, and it is never failing. Finally, setting our minds on God, verses 8 and 9, let's read those together. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Truth, honor, justice, purity, loveliness, what is admirable, things that are excellent and worthy of praise, these are the attributes of God. And if you're using the Bible that we've got here, this is page 982, which is awesome. If you turn one page over to 984, you'll see Colossians 3:2, which reminds us to set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. These qualities of God are reflected in our lives when we set our minds on God. It also reminds me of that hymn we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's called Blessed Assurance. Recall the lyrics of Fanny J. Crosby. She says that blessed assurance, Jesus is ours. We are the heirs to salvation, and we can rest in knowing that we are the purchase of God, and the peace of God will be with us. That blows away the mindset of trying to make a resolution just for the moment or just for the year. If that is part of our revelation, if we're starting with that end in mind, how amazing is that? We have the assurance that the peace of God will be with us. And all these other things that can be going on around us, things that we haven't seen before, things that we don't know what will happen, but yet we can rest in the fact that we have blessed assurance in Jesus. So what's it going to be? So we're here at the end of another year, and, you know, I hear you. There's been a lot of achievements, a lot of things that have happened this year. Some of us have had graduations. Some of us placed third place in our fantasy football league. Some of us just made it through the year, and that is achievement enough. But is it folly to take it upon ourselves on this New Year's Day to get out of the woods and reach our own end game? I encourage each class of our graduating seniors to choose slogan to guide their vision and to get extra points if they rhyme it with the year. And this year's senior class chose Jesus is the core in 2024. And what I want to challenge us is to take that phrase. Jesus is at our core. Jesus is our core in 24, but not let just in 24, but make that a lifelong pursuit as we embrace God's strength, peace, and the transformation in our hearts. And also what I want to say is you're not alone in this. We may be coming at the end of this year and you just may be feeling like this is something that I just can't handle. Another year, one of these things that's happening. And I feel like it's just me. But I want you to know that even as part of the staff, as part of the members of this church, we want to walk alongside each other. That's what Paul said in the beginning. He said, you can't do this alone. Yes, we lean on the Lord, but we also lean on each other. And it's important for us as friends, as colleagues, as members, and even our new elders that are put in place as well. They're ready to help. All of these avenues are ready for us. You're not alone in this. And so as we look at turning resolutions into revelation, something for a lifelong pursuit, I want to encourage us as we get to this end of the time that we have here. We didn't talk about, again, what it might mean to give your life to Christ, but that's always available and always up for us to be able to do as well. Nothing is more important than to walk alongside our God in acknowledging his Son as our Savior, and we would love to do that to you, for you, with you today as well. If that's something you've been thinking about, nothing is more important than that. And what an awesome revelation to not only lead into this new year, but into the rest of your life. And so if that's something that you'd like to speak to as well, we can do that. And as we get ready to worship, as we get ready to sing, I want to wish you another, again, happy new year. And let's look toward our revolution and revelation.